자비하리 오피자나발라바 기리바라다리 Kopijanabalava Giriparadare Yashodanandana Brajajanaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanacharya Jamuna Tira Vanachari Srila Prabhupada ki jai Antara Srimat Bhagavatam ki jai Glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the Sambha devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Narayanam namaskritim, naram chaiva narottamam, devim saraswatim vyasam, tato jayanadhiraye. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Kattam svitriyate dandha Kim vasya sthanan ipsitam Dandyak kim karinak sarve Aho svit katichindrinam Kattam svitriyate dandha Kim vasya sthananipsitam Dandyak kim karinak sarve Aho svit katichindrinam Katam svitriyate danda Kim vasya sthanam ipsitam Dandyakim karinak sarve Aho svit katichindrinam
Aho
Katam sweet, by which means Driyate is imposed Dandaha, punishment. Kim, what? Va, or Asya, of this. Stanam, the place. Ipsitam, desirable. Dandyaha, punishable. Kim, whether. Karinaha, fruitive actors. Sarve, all. Aho, sweet. Or whether. Katichit, some. Nrinam, of the human beings. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. What is the process of punishing others? Who are the actual candidates for punishment? Are all karmis engaged in fruitive activities punishable, or only some of them? Purport. One who has the power to punish others should not punish everyone. There are innumerable living entities, the majority of whom are in the spiritual world and are Nitya Mukta, everlastingly liberated. There is no question of judging these liberated living beings. Only a small fraction of the living entities, perhaps one-fourth, are in the material world, and the major portion of the living entities in the material world, 1,000,000 of the 1,400,000 form of life, are lower than human beings. They are not punishable, for under the laws of material nature, they are automatically evolving. Human beings who are advanced in consciousness are responsible, but not all of them are punishable. Those engaged in advanced pious activities are beyond punishment. Only those who engage in sinful activities are punishable. Therefore, the Vishnu Dutas particularly inquire about who is punishable and why Yamaraj has been designated to discriminate between who is punishable and who is not. How is one to be judged? What is the basic principle of authority? These are the questions raised by the Vishnu Dutas. So the translation was, what is the process of punishing others? Who are the actual candidates for punishment? Are all karmis engaged in fruitive activities punishable, or only some of them? Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Sulakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sivin Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulam Gayati Grim Yat Kripata Maham Bande Sri Gurun Dinataranam Panchakalpatarubhyas Cha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are reading the history of the life of Ajamil, chapter 1, sixth canto. And here we have the meeting between the Vishnu Dutas, who are the representative of the Lord, and the Yamadutas, who are the representative of Yamaraj, who is a servant of Krishna in the material world, and his function is to give punishment to those who are against Dharma, who act against Dharma. And it's a very interesting meeting, because they usually don't meet, Vishnu Dutas and Yamadutas. They are from different worlds, So Yamadutas had the function to, they have to look for those souls or jivas who are inflicting suffering on others or are breaking the rules of Dharma. And the Vishnu Dutas, they are in the spiritual world, and when they come to the material world, it's just to take a pure devotee of the Lord back to Godhead. For them to see someone being chastised was very unusual, especially with the Vishnu, the Yamadutas. So therefore they are asking questions. And you cannot chastise if you don't have the authority to do that. That's the first thing. They ask in the previous verse to the Yamadutas, if you are actually servants of Yamaraj, you must explain to us the meaning of religious principles and the symptom of irreligion. So they are pointing out that you, for chastising, you have to be a representative of an authority. You have to have the authority. And also you have to represent that authority. And further, they are asking, what is the process of punishing others? So they want to know. It's like if you never saw cows being killed, for example, and you go to, you just happen to be in a slaughterhouse and you see all this, you will ask, what's going on here? Why are you chastising these cows, punishing them? And I want to know, who is your authority to do that? So, like Maharaj Parikshit, when he met the personality of Kali, who was inflicting suffering on the cow and the bull, and he inquired, like, also, so who are you? Now, he was dressing as a king, but he wasn't a king, this personality of Kali. In order to keep punishment in any field of life, you have to be authorized. One who has the power to punish others should not punish everyone. So the person who is giving punishment, he should know to whom. When he's an unqualified personality, he will give chastisement without any discrimination. Most probably he will enjoy that position of giving chastisement. But according to the plan of the Lord, he is the ultimate authority, and he empowers different jivas to judge, to keep the order in the material world. And there are certain laws, and Prabhupada is explaining here that, for example, he will explain who is punishable and who is not among the living entities. So first of all, he is explaining that there are nitya muktas. There are like the Vishnu Dutas. The nitya muktas, there are eternally liberated souls, and they don't have anything to do with the material world. And therefore, there is no question of sin on them, of punishment, because they are in Lila, in the spiritual world, where there is only bliss, Satchit Ananda. There is no question of sinful life there. Therefore, they are not punishable. And then you have among the a small fraction of living entities, which Prabhupada said perhaps 1/4 of the living entities are in the material world. And among them, not all the living entities are punishable. Only those who are in human body may be subject to punishment. All other living entities, the 8,000 living entities among Chalajana Valakshani, there are like 900 species of aquatics, and then you have 1,100,000 trees, and then you have birds. You have beasts. So the Vedas describe the different type of body and the quantity. And there is only 400,000 species of human beings, according to the Vedas. And the animals, because they don't have they don't have developed their consciousness enough to be responsible for their acts, they are not punishable. So they are just evolving, paying his karma, going through the evolution. But human beings, they can be of different class. Like Lord Chaitanya explained that there are those who are following the Dharma and those who don't follow the Dharma. And among those who are supposed to follow the Dharma, not everyone follows Dharma. So you have two types of sinful human beings. Those who are performing big karma, and those who are acting, they have knowledge, but they are not following. Although they know the Vedas, they're supposed to follow the Vedas, they don't follow the Vedas. All of them actually are vikarmis. So human beings who are advanced in consciousness are responsible, but not all of them are punishable. That's what we are explaining. Only those who engage in sinful activities are punishable. Therefore, the Vishnu Dutas particularly inquire about who is punishable and why Yamaraj has been designated to discriminate between who is punishable and who is not. How is one to be judged? What is the basic principle of authority? These are the questions raised by the Vishnu Dutas. Or Prabhupada is answering who can be punishable and who is not. For the most, one of the points, so here that I'm highlighting is the qualification for being an authority, and that you need discrimination. If you are in that position, you need to discriminate according to the Vedas. And there are many examples in the scriptures about chastisement given. Especially the Bhagavatam is, most of their pastimes are performed in the material world. So I want to know just a few examples, if you want to share, then I have some examples. Because Prabhupada explained that according to Desha, Kala and Patra, these chastisements are given. Sometimes it's unfair and sometimes it's fair. Sometimes authorities make mistakes, and they have to pay for that also, if they make a mistake in giving chastisement. So do you have any example of...
We're bathing it in an auspicious time.
In an improper...
Yeah.
Can we have one example here?
Mother Parvati, she cursed Chitraketu to become a demon because he cracked a joke about Lord Shiva.
Yeah, and Chitraketu accepted, although it was kind of unfair. Just a minute. Can you sit in the microphone so the...
Bhrigu Muni chastising Indra for his arrogance later on in the sixth canto and disappearing from the scene so that Indra couldn't apologize. And as a result, they all...
Yeah, you said Brihaspati. Bhrigu Muni. Ah, I call it.
Bhrigu Muni.
Okay. And then there is another with Brihaspati.
Or maybe it's
Brihaspati. Yeah, because the spiritual master of Indra. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good example also. And he even didn't give the chastisement, like, he just left. But then they have to suffer the reaction of being, they become less powerful, and then the demons defeat them. And, okay, so there are another more?
Shringi. He chastised Maharaj Parikshit improperly. So that's an improper thing to chastise.
Yes. Sringi was very improper. Therefore we are here. Can you speak in the microphone?
Muni chastising Ambarish Maharaj.
Yes. Another. These are all like improper behaviors of one who has authority. Although, like, Durvasa Muni didn't have any authority to chastise a devotee. Therefore, he was punished then by Vishnu. And Sringi also, he didn't really have the authority to do that. Although a Brahmana can keep chastisement, but not for a kinyan in the situation he did it. So Prabhupada gave two lectures on this verse. And I just was reading one lecture he gave in San Francisco. He's explaining that there are, according to Vedas, some people like Brahmanas, they don't supposed to receive chastisement. Also children, ladies, women, and cows. They are meant to be against the law, you can say. But it doesn't mean that they can do whatever they want, but they're supposed to be so well trained that they will never, society will never expect a misbehavior from them at that time. It's funny when Prabhupada is giving the lecture, because he's saying all this, that he especially emphasizes children shouldn't be chastised, and then one devotee, I think it's Nitai, someone, he said, children, he interrupted the class, he said, children go out. And then another devotee said, yes, mother, take out the children. And Prabhupada said, no, why not, they should stay here, children shouldn't be chastised. So everyone laughed. And Prabhupada said, yeah, they let them stay. And he said, also, women should be chastised. And because they were chastising the mothers somehow, because they were not taking their children out. But then Prabhupada said, but don't take advantage of that, he said to the Matajis. So it's important to know the law of according to the Vedas. However, how do you apply this in Kali Yuga? It's a mystery. Because nobody fits their position. So if you, there are even women who kill. Like now it is, the women and men are in the same level now. Under the, they don't behave the same, and also they want to be treated in the same circumstances than men. So most of the things doesn't apply, but in our culture that how Prabhupada established it can be, because it matters are receiving also good training. You will never expect that they will do such a thing. Only is expected from Shudras, this misbehavior, actually. Prabhupada explained that we are called Shudra Sambhava. Everyone is born as a Shudra, so that's the problem. That's why he wanted to train everyone and offer Brahminical training. That he, even so, Prabhupada was so bold and so confident that he was even, when he came to Chicago, he was bold enough to say, he wanted to talk to the, I don't know the name of the position of the police officer. We were reading with Aita once that, from the Science of Self-Realization. So Prabhupada was bringing a solution for the crime. And that is based on the process of Krishna consciousness, on proper training, and because Prabhupada explained that the misbehavior is coming because of dirty in the heart, because of all the anartha. So that's the only difference between a sinful person and a person who is not sinful, is the difference in the heart. So with proper training, that darkness in the heart can be reduced and finally eliminated, and then there won't be any question of a sinful life. And this part of the mission of the Prabhupada establishing all this is that he saw, like Maharaj Pariksit, he saw that everyone was going to hell. Like Maharaj Pariksit is raising the question at the beginning of the chapter. He is concerned with all the living entities going to hell because of their misbehavior after listening to Sukadeva Goswami about all these hellish planets, etc. So Srila Prabhupada, in the same way, he's seeing the misdirected society, and he's observing as a transcendentalist, not as a dogmatic person who is afraid of the young generations and like that, or he's ashamed of all the sinful activities people are doing. He's just seen as a transcendentalist. He's seen that according to the Vedas and the instruction of all the acharyas, we are really in trouble in the way we are living. So therefore he's bringing all this sacrifice of bringing the Srimad Bhagavatam, etc., just to give an opportunity to all the conditioned souls of this age to reflect on the scriptures and try to change our character. And especially he was addressing his books to the leaders, because leader has the power to punish. And Prabhupada's books are giving a lot of insights of how to rule, how to punish, when to punish, when not to punish others. So, just I was thinking in some examples, some situation in scriptures, more contemporary, like I saw one in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I was always very intrigued about that pastime. But it's Gopinath, is a son of Baba Nanda Rai. He had many sons, like five sons, and one of his sons was Ramananda Rai. He was a great devotee. Babananda Rai is actually, according to Sri Chaitanya, is Pandu Maharaj, and Ramananda Rai is Arjuna, and according to that analysis. And so he has five sons, and Lord Chaitanya said they are the five Pandavas. So they are very exalted personalities. And one of his son who is called Gopinath Patanayaka. I will read so you can understand the story. But one day in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya, his last pastime, he was living there. The devotees came suddenly to see Sri Chaitanya, and they told him, like, Gopinath Patanayaka, the son of Bhavananda Rai, is a great devotee, has been condemned to death by the Bhada Jana, the eldest son of the king, and has been raised on the Changa. So the Changa was like a platform where many swords were placed there, and then the person who was being chastised will be thrown in the platform and will die immediately. So but it's interesting because this is in Kali Yuga, and still in Jagannath Puri these rules were there. So they explain, the Baba Jana, who was the son of the king of Orissa, Baba Jana was the one who had the position to chastise and if someone was misbehaving. So he has placed swords beneath the platform and will throw Gopinath upon them. So the devotees, they implore Lord Chaitanya to to say him, because they know you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Lord Chaitanya, his role as a devotee, and as a sannyas, he explained to the devotee that I can't do anything. And he told, explain me what happened, but I'm just a sannyasi, so I only come back from the king, and he will never give me the, because the problem of Patana Yakav was that he was a treasure of the king. And he also used to collect taxes, and he committed a mistake. He deposited all the money, but some part of the money he used it for himself, and then he was supposed to repose him, to give back that money. So when the king, the prince, the son of the king, asked for the whole amount of money, he said, "But this part of the money I will give you, I don't have the cash right now." So like if you are taking care of the Sankirtan Lakshmi, the money, and then the temple president said to you, "Okay, give me all the Lakshmi," and you say, "I'm sorry, I can give you part, but I don't have the whole cash because we just have to do some expenses while we were traveling, so we use part of the BBT cost." It's just a minor mistake, but the prince became very upset, and Patana Yaka was explaining, "Okay, no problem, I can give you all my horses. Then you can take them," and they were very valuable. But the prince was looking like this, doing like this. And he was trying to explain him. So at one point, this devotee, Gopinath, he became very upset by the behavior of the prince. Also, he was very dear to the king, so he thought he was in the right of criticizing the prince. And he said, "Okay, you should take my horses." And so this person was doing like this, and he said, "I'll give you some money." And he gave very little. He was trying to give for the horses that won't fit the amount that he owed. So it wasn't a good deal. Therefore, Gopinath became very upset, and he said, "Well, my horses doesn't look like this." So therefore you should take them for a better price. And so the prince took that as a very bad criticism. And then he said, you should be killed. And he went to the king and he explained the situation in a distorted way. And the king said, "Okay, you can do whatever you want. You just get the money." So he went and he gave Gopinath the chastisement of being killed, death penalty. So at this point, the devotees were thinking it was very unfair, so they went to Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya explained that he is the king, so the king can do whatever he wants. He is the authority, just a sannyasi. So he was acknowledging that those who have the authority to chastise, you cannot do anything. But he said only the Lord can do something. So if you go to Lord Jagannath and you pray, then something can be done. Because Krishna is above the king and anyone else. And this is more the parallel with this story also, with Ajamil. That all the Yamadutas, they have all the authority in Yamaraj, but there is someone behind who can arrange that. So in the same way, we know the story of Ajamil, how he was saved. So in the same way, Gopinath, by the prayers of the devotee, but actually by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, there was an arrangement with an officer who explained the king. An officer was inspired by Krishna, and he told the king of Orissa, what happened here is that Gopinath is your dear servant, and you are going to kill him. And he said, I didn't know the prince was doing that, so please stop that, I just want the money from him. So in that way he was saved by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So the point I want to highlight is that there is always this concept of justice and mercy, and mercy can be given only for one who has the power to give mercy. Not everyone can give mercy. It's not sentimental. So Lord Chaitanya, as a devotee, he's teaching the devotees that by praying for to Krishna, he's the ultimate authority, and he can give the mercy. We have cases like Draupadi and Ashvatthama, Arjuna, Bhima, all with different opinions. According to the law, he has to be killed because he was a murderer of children. But because he was a Brahmana, he couldn't be chastised at the same time. And Draupadi also, she was trying to give mercy to, not to him, but to Kripi, to the mother of Ashvatthama. There is a whole deal. So there is always this both concept and authorities, they always have these two things there, like justice and also mercy. They have to be a combination. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, we can observe that according to justice, many characters in Bhagavatam have to be chastised, but because of the mercy of the Lord, they get free from that. Like, for example, Mrigari. Mrigari was going down to hell directly, but just because Narada Muni is merciful, he wasn't thinking on laws and rules. Like that, he was just feeling pity for Mrigari. Therefore, he approached him and he created pious activities on him. And finally, Mrigari was saved by the character of Narada Muni, by his mercy. So this side is the mercy from the devotees, and on the other side are those who are giving punishment. They need advice. Therefore, the kshatriyas, they usually don't have mercy. Kshatriyas are very attached to laws. If you don't follow the rule, pass. You're to be executed. Therefore, they need a council, advice of brahmanas, because brahmanas are liberal. They are not into politics and things, so they can see the perspective in another, the situation in another perspective, and because there are no, they don't take it personal or against the law, nothing against me or my pride. Kshatriya had all this thing about pride, you insulted me like that. So they always we need brahmanas and kshatriyas, those who dispense the law, know about the law, but also those who know about the science of mercy. And these are the pure devotees. There is all, okay, you can say, please. No, I was done with the point, actually. I wanted to read something from Ramayana, but go on, and then if there's time, I'll read.
There was one statement in the purport where it said that of those living entities who are in the 400,000 species of life, not everyone is punishable. Only those who are acting sinfully, they are
condemned
to punishment. So I was thinking in terms of for devotees, the Lord may also be, we hear this verse, that tenu kampam susamikshamano punjana yavatmakritam bhakam. We may also be getting the reactions to certain activities. And when something happens to us that's quote-unquote not a very nice reaction, then we can often get a realization from it that, oh, maybe I should be more humble, or I was acting fruitively, or something. We get some realization. But I was wondering, how does a devotee deal with a situation where things are going nicely? You get a good result from an interaction, for a service. The result is successful. It's hard sometimes to see what am I supposed to learn from this. Usually from a bad situation, we can somehow learn something. I mean, good and bad are ultimately just, dualities created by the mind. They really don't have
any
basis.
We learn from the chastisement, and also we learn from mercy.
So much from the mercy part, the when okay. Things go well, but I learn from the chastisement.
Yes, chastisement in Vaishnava communities is there also, but not in the same way, let's say in a practical way. Prabhupada many times, he also chastised his devotees for different reasons, like even expose them from ISKCON if they had like especially philosophical deviations were very, that for a Brahman is very, like, very bad. But with others, things, and the Prabhupada was more lenient. And punishment given by the devotee is different, because if you receive chastisement by the law, here you don't have to have a relationship. Like if you break the law, it's more impersonal. Like if you break one law, like if you cross the street or you park in a wrong way, you get a fine. You get chastisement. But usually in the community of devotees, it's more personal. Except for wrong things, like if you break a law, you break a law in the society. But I'm talking about more dealing with devotees. Things that are not, may not be punishable by the government, but are punishable by devotees. Because we have different standards. So, for instance, drinking alcohol in the temple, smoking may not be a fault if you do it in another building. And nobody can take you in jail if you drink alcohol here, I think. I don't know exactly the rules. But you're breaking a rule. It's not, the temple doesn't allow that. So for the devotees, when Prabhupada was given chastisement, according to most of the devotees, like all instructions of being hard to the devotees, most of the devotees, they remember that as the best part of their life. So I mean, those devotees who have survived. And like Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he was glorified by Prabhupada for the book distribution and all the things he was doing. And he was reading the letters. He even went to London and he, by Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was introduced. So he was reading the letters to his own letter that Srila Prabhupada used to read and cry sometimes of emotion about the book distribution in Russia and other places. Tamal Krishna Maharaj wanted Bhakti Tirtha Swami to read those letters to Srila Prabhupada and see as a, something like will be nice for Prabhupada. So he was doing that, Bhakti Tirtha Swami and Prabhupada. The first time he was, the first time now actually they meet and he told to Srila Prabhupada, this is Bhakti Tirtha, Aganasyam. So he's the one who's writing the letter, etc. And Prabhupada embraced him and they said, your life is perfect, and things like that. It was very emotional meeting. But then they have the last meeting. Tamal Krishna Maharaj wanted him to read a letter to Prabhupada. So Bhakti Tirtha Swami was reading the letter. At that time he was Ganashyam. And Prabhupada didn't pay any attention to him. Like he was ignoring him. And Prabhupada was speaking while he was reading. So he would stop reading and then Prabhupada would stop speaking. So he would think, okay, I have to read again. So he would start reading and Prabhupada would start speaking other things. So finally, Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, like, go. Like, he doesn't want you here. So he left, and before he left, I think Prabhupada said, Krishna is the doer. Prabhupada said, Krishna is the doer. So it was for a devotee who has a very strong relationship, if your spiritual master said that, it's really like, it's more painful, can be that he ignore you like that. It can be painful. But for Bhakti Tirtha Swami at that time, he said it was very painful, he was destroyed, but then he understood that as a mercy. And at the time, last time of his life, he was remembering, saying that particular moment with Prabhupada was the most joyful time, like that when he is remembering that, because he gave a very strong instruction. So I was listening to a devotee care seminar Radhanath Swami was giving. He was explaining that many devotees, they try to imitate Srila Prabhupada and giving chastisement. Like that, like he gave to. So, especially in the 80s. But many devotees didn't take it like love, like something they will remember. For many devotees, those chastisement inflicted by the other devotees, the senior devotees, it was the point of breakdown to the cost to live Krishna consciousness. For many of them. So he was explaining that it's important to, when you have a clear relationship, then the chastisement that you can the devotees, Vaishnavas, they can give chastisement because the relationship is clear that this person is loving me. You know, so it's like a mother and a son. So your mother chastises you, may not like, but you understand that it's nothing against you. She's rejecting you. She's just chastising you. So I would say that in among Vaishnavas, the chastisement is always given out of love, and also the both parts have a relationship. Otherwise, it's not impersonal. Like, you don't know a devotee, you start chastising him. Doesn't have much effect. So, there are two. Karuna Nidhi or Jai Jagannath, or any of them can.
Yeah, chastisement from seniors or from the guru is a boon. It is a blessing.
Exactly.
You know what? One time, what happened? Lord Chaitanya is always respecting, no, Advaita Acharya Prabhu. He was giving, no, always respects. Then Advaita Acharya Prabhu didn't like that. You know, in order to make annoyed to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, you know, he spoke so many nonsense things, like, you know, Mayavadi philosophy and all this. So then Mahaprabhu got angry, got annoyed. Then he wanted to beat Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Advaita Acharya Prabhu. Then Advaita Acharya Prabhu was, you know, in ecstasy, he was dancing, you know, because he felt that this is a real blessing from Mahaprabhu. And it's a very nice instance. Another thing also, things to consider here, in purport, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that lower species, means those lower than human beings, they are not subjected to be punished. Like, for example, Stri, Vaishya, Tathasudras, you know, those categories. They are also, like, for example, they are not subjected to, you know, for example, women specifically. They should not be punished. How, you know, one example you take, like in next canto, you'll see another couple, can, ninth canto, you'll see that the wife of Brihaspati, you know, like her name was Tara, she was kidnapped by Soma, you know. The Soma impregnated her. Then now, there was a big fight between demon and, you know, both sides of, like, Somo and all this, you know. Then finally Brahma brought her back, the Tara, to her husband. But there you can see that Brihaspati could not punish. Although she did so much very, very bad things, you know, through illicit sex, she was impregnated. Baby was there. But still, her husband forgave her. Because, you know, this is that, you know, instance, that women should not be punished. And another thing also, I forgot, what is that? Brahmana. In case of Brahmana also, they should not be punished. Brahmana, sannyas, like, for example, Draupadi's son were killed by, you know, his guru's, you know, son, Asvastama. But Draupadi said, no, you cannot punish. You know, he is the son of Guru, number one, number two, he is the Brahmana, so you cannot punish. So he was forgiven. So this thing I was to add.
Thank you. Nice examples. Chaya?
Is that in relationship to his question? His question, as I understood, is that when bad things happen to us, then we try to take some lesson from it, to learn from it. But when good things happen to us,
we don't
know what's the lesson to take. And we just get absorbed in, oh, something good happened and so on. And I want to say that sometimes the lesson may not be so much the practical elements that you can draw from it, but the main lesson, good or bad, is to take refuge in Krishna. So like Ajramil, he's getting punished, and the lesson that he gets from this chastisement is to take refuge in Krishna, in which he would automatically give up sinful activities and so on. So the lesson wasn't stop sinful activity. That wasn't really the lesson. The real lesson is to take refuge in Krishna. And then in that way, those things stop. So also when good things happen to us, my mind was drawn to the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita because I was studying that chapter recently. And Krishna says, he's speaking about how he's the maintainer of the universe. So he says, Shabda ke purusham nishu, that I'm the sound in ether. So without sound, nothing can be maintained in this world. And then he says, I'm the ability in man, or I'm the endeavor in man, because only by that endeavor are people maintained. So Krishna says, that endeavor is me. So if someone has a successful endeavor, that endeavor was Krishna. So then the lesson he could take from that is to take greater refuge in Krishna. So in either situation, something good happened or something bad, the lesson isn't so much necessarily just a practical element to draw from it, as the lesson of placing my heart in Krishna and taking full refuge in Him, taking shelter of Him. And that way, good or bad, a devotee can see it's all Krishna's doing, you know. Something good happens, he can acknowledge that. It's Krishna's empowerment. Something's taking place.
Yeah, for the devotee, there's no Narayana Parasarvena Kutachana Kakichi. It's like a sort of heavenly enjoyment, hellish enjoyment. It's all our, for the devotees, it's like you say, the divine shelter. Everything is impulsing the devotee or pushing him to take shelter of Krishna, either good or bad. One example that may be related from the Ramayana regarding being, sometimes we think that being given a nice, for example, either a position of etc., necessarily is something good. Sometimes we may think it's good, but many times it's a type of chastisement, so we have to be alert of what Krishna is trying to teach us. And this story can give you as an example to reflect on that. I was thinking of reading, but since the time is there, I will just make it short. Hopefully you can understand in my words in English. So Lord Sri Ramachandra, who tomorrow we are celebrating his appearance days. So just to make a brief connection. So Sri Ramachandra, when he was performing as a king, he wanted to make sure that everyone was satisfied in his kingdom. Therefore, he used to ask his servants to check if there was someone needing every day. Like, is there anyone in need that needs something? And they will meet Sri Ramachandra and talk about their problem, and then Lord Ramachandra will give a solution. So in this particular moment, the servant came and said, everyone is satisfied in your kingdom, my Lord. So I couldn't find anyone trying to talk to you about any complaint. So Lord Ramachandra said, but go again and look, maybe someone there. And so he went and he saw a dog. And you know, for in Vedic culture, everyone is welcome. So even a dog can participate and complain. So the dog was there, and then this devotee asked the dog, so what's going on? You want to see Lord Ramachandra for something? He said, well, I have something to complain. I have a complainment. He glorified for Lord Ramachandra. I don't know what language they spoke, but they communicate each other. And finally, the dog didn't want to enter the palace. He said, I'm a dog, I have a lower birth. I don't want to enter in the palace, but is Lord Ramachandra allow me? I can go and explain him my problem. So Lord Ramachandra gave permission, he entered. And the dog was bleeding. So when Lord Ramachandra saw that, he said, what happened to you? He said, well, I will explain you. I'm a dog. Let me glorify you first. And then he explained. And he said, there is a personality, a brahmana, who make me suffer like this. And Lord Ramachandra said, call immediately that brahmana, he told to the servants. So they brought the brahmana. So the brahmana was there, offered obeisances to Lord Ramachandra, and Lord Ramachandra explained to him, what you did is very bad, it's very sinful, etc. And he told the brahmana, explain what happened. So the brahmana explained, boy, I just was walking and this dog was on my way. So I told the dog, move, move, move. And the dog was very slow, and
I couldn't control my anger, and I just kicked him in her head. So he said, "That's my mistake. I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that." But he was disturbing me anyway. I'm willing to receive any punishment from you, Lord Ramachandra. Please forgive me. So Lord Ramachandra called his minister and he said, "So what should we do?" Because he had ministered, even being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was showing the example of, he had the Brahmanas. And they said, "Well, actually he's a Brahmana, so we cannot chastise a Brahmana. This is a very difficult situation." And then the doc interrupted and he said, "May I give a suggestion?" He said, I only want him to become the new spiritual leader of this community. Like there was a temple there. He can become the chief there." And so everyone was bewildered. And Lord Ramachandra said, "Oh, that's very good. That's very good. Okay." So they brought elephants, everything, and the Brahmana was in joy. Like, "Oh, wonderful. I am now the spiritual leader of all these people." And okay, wonderful. So he went in elephant and everyone was singing and they put him in a very important position. And then the Brahmanas were asking, "But Sri Ramachandra, this is very strange. What you did, this doesn't look like a chastisement." And he said, "This dog now understands the law of karma, so he can explain you." So the dog started explaining, and he explained that in his previous life, he was the leader of the community. He was a priest in the temple, where now this Brahmana will be the leader. And he just committed a mistake. He didn't even know what kind of mistake he committed, but he had an important position there in the temple. Because that mistake, he took a bird as a dog. So then he said, "So I think that this Brahmana, he's not able to control his anger. So I think that the best chastisement will be to give him a highest position, so he will commit so many mistakes, and not even he will go to hell, but also his seventh generation of him will go to hell. So that's a proper chastisement." So that's to end. So the idea is that sometimes we might think we have to always see. It's very difficult to understand what is mercy, what is not mercy. So sometimes Krishna, we are thinking that we are in a very bad position or something, but Krishna is really giving us mercy. And sometimes we are thinking, "I'm doing very well, and I'm receiving all the mercy because everything's coming well." Sometimes it's not, it's just Maya. It's like Putana who came all in disguise. No, it's a very good situation. So something to reflect. Srila Prabhupada ki, Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.